We're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. If you want to use the black Bibles, which were accessible at the front door on your way in, you'll find that on page 1031. Feel free to listen along if you want to also. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus answered, "Man, who appointed me a judge and arbiter between you?" Then he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have many good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Who then will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.
Good evening, 5 p.m. How you going? Just a little bit of a warning. I'm trialing a new voice tonight. I've got to get some new personalities and stuff like that. So after the service, if you like this voice, I call it extra nasal, then let me know. Or if you prefer just regular nasal Josh, then we can go back to that. It's going to be fun. I want to talk about Monopoly tonight. Here we have a Monopoly board set out. Now, has anyone played Monopoly before? Okay. I've got the Australian edition. I've never played this edition, but it's probably just a bit extra bogan. That's okay. The game of Monopoly. It's an interesting game. So the game of Monopoly, or the aim of Monopoly, is to gain all the properties. It's a little rap I'm working on. I haven't finished it yet. The game of Monopoly, if you haven't played it before, these are the basic rules. You go around the board, try and get all the properties you can, and at the same time, ruin any relationship you have with the other players. This is the game of Monopoly. I'm quite serious. You're guaranteed to tear apart any relationship you have playing this with someone else. If you're out there and you're like, "I've been thinking about breaking up with my boyfriend or girlfriend," but you don't have the guts to do it, just ask them to play a fun game of Monopoly. It'll be over before you know it. This is the game of Monopoly. But why? Why is this game so evil? Well, this is the thing. The whole point of this game is to get as much as you can, to get every single property on the board, to get every bit of money that there is. And the problem is that when you do that, someone else loses out. You have to take it from someone else in order to gain it. But it's not like you roll the dice and you're like, "You win, I lose, yeah, let's play again." The problem with Monopoly is it's drawn out. This thing is drawn out. It takes ages and ages for someone to finally win and for the other people to finally lose. It's this drawn out downward spiral of emotional hatred towards your friends. That's why we find this game so frustrating. And you start off equal. That's the problem. You start off with an equal amount of money, but eventually the richer get a bit richer, the poorer get a bit poorer. And you think, well, I can maybe get a second chance. Maybe this will be my ticket out. Second place in a beauty contest? As if, I'm way hotter than Stacey. It's good for the person that's winning, but it's horrible for the people that are losing. This slow, painful death. So how does the game end? How does Monopoly actually end? I'm going to bed. That's how the game of Monopoly ends. I'm pretty sure it's in the rules. Yep, the game of Monopoly ends when someone has a SPAC attack and goes to bed. This is the game of Monopoly. It's supposed to be this fun, enjoyable game with friends, but it turns into a spiteful, ugly, greed-filled argument between enemies. And guess what happens after it's all over? It all goes back in the box. The game is over, and the whole game goes back in the box. See, when you take a step back from the game, if you're looking at all these crazy people playing, you think to yourself, you're like, chill out, it's just a game. Like, you're supposed to be having fun. But when you're in it, when you're in the game, you lose perspective. It's like you get stuck in this backward vortex of Monopoly, and you can't see the bigger picture anymore. You forget it's a game, you forget you're supposed to be having fun, you completely lose perspective, and you take it way too seriously. When you have the wrong perspective, you have the wrong concerns. But this happens in life as well, right? Like, you go to a friend's place. I don't know if you've got friends like this, but you go there and you hang out and you leave and you think to yourself, do they love me more or do they love their house more? Because this is what happens, and this is what happened to me once. I went to a friend's place and I accidentally had a bit of dirt on the bottom of my shoe. The bit of dirt ended up on the carpet, and the parents flipped out. Like, big time flipped out. And now, I don't know what kind of relationship they had with this carpet. It was a bit weird. What did the bad man do? It's okay, we'll get you cleaned up. You know, people like this, where it seems like they care more about the carpet than they do you. This perspective leads to wrong concerns. You see, you look outside of that situation, you think, the carpet's supposed to serve you. It's supposed to serve the house. It's supposed to serve the people, the guests that are coming in, but we flip it around sometimes and suddenly we're serving the carpet. We have the wrong perspective. But it can be a bit more serious than that sometimes when we have the wrong perspective. Like the dad who decides to work a bit longer, a bit more at his job because he wants to provide for his family. And so he works extra hours and he wants to get as much as he can so he can give it to his family so they can have more things. But what he doesn't realize is his family didn't even want more things. They wanted more of him. So his perspective's completely wrong, and it leads him to have a wrong concern. And we've got to think, well, why does this happen? Why does life say, like a Monopoly, that it's all about gain? It's all about what I can get. It's all about as much as I can get. That's the world that we grow up in. That's the world that we live in. A world that says you're defined by the mark you can gain in your exam. A world says that if you don't have a mortgage, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money. A world that says if you can't leave a big inheritance to your children, then you haven't actually provided properly. If you don't have a uni degree, you're not going to get a proper job. If you don't have the latest device, you're falling behind. If you're not getting promoted in your job, then you're going nowhere. If you don't have a savings account and a long-term deposit and an emergency account, then you're a fool. I realized that this mindset of gain had crept in because I find myself often thinking this in response to other people. I think, what am I going to get out of this? I don't know if you've ever asked yourself that. Someone asked you to help them out. Maybe someone even just asked you to an event. And you think, what am I going to get out of this? That's our criteria. What am I going to get out of it? See, the problem with that attitude is that if we all have that, then life becomes one big game of Monopoly. One big game of Monopoly. No one's looking out for the people who can't provide for themselves. No one's helping the people that can't help themselves. All we do is we just have our concerns. What concerns me? How can I make my life a little bit better? How can I gain a little bit more? I want to ask the question, if Jesus was here, if Jesus was present, and you got to ask him for one thing, what would that be? As we just heard in the Bible, there was this guy and he had that very opportunity. Jesus was in front of him and he asked him one thing. And this is what he said. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." The guy asks one question. He says, "I want some of the money that my brother has." That's his one question. Now, Jesus isn't having a bar of it. He says, "Who appointed me judge or arbiter between you?" And then immediately, in classic Jesus style, he points out this guy's problem. He gets to the heart of the issue. And it's greed. He says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Don't you hate when your friends do that? They get to the heart of what you're asking, but you don't necessarily want it. Like, I need a Red Bull. No, Josh, you don't need a Red Bull. You're overworked, you need some rest. And then we embrace and I cry and tell them all my problems. This is what Jesus does. He hears the question but answers the real question. He looks at the heart of the issue for this man. The man asks the question, "I need that. I need that." And Jesus sees straight through him and answers the heart of the question. He says, "You want that, but that's not what you need." And then in verse 15, Jesus says this. He says, "Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions." That's the warning he gives, an abundance of possessions. Now, sometimes we can read this and we quickly skip to the extreme. It's like, okay, Jesus wants me to give away everything. We got to wear potato sacks and be homeless. No, Jesus says it's the abundance that's a problem. This guy has a wrong perspective of abundance. He's not saying get rid of it all, live as a poor person, become a monk or anything like that. See, look at the examples that Jesus gives. "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Inheritance, what's that? It's free. It's unearned money. It's extra. And then he says, "Be on your guard for all kinds of greed." Greed meaning wanting more than you have or deserve. He says, "Life doesn't consist of an abundance of possession." Abundance meaning more than you actually need. And later on in the verse, he says, "A rich man yielded an abundant harvest." Firstly, the man was already rich, and then he got more. See, the man had the wrong perspective, and so Jesus told the people around him this parable. Now, you know when Jesus tells a parable, it's about to go down. So this is what he says. He says, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest." He thought to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Can I give you my abridged version of this story? Rich guy gets more. Rich guy keeps all. Rich guy is no more. Rich guy poor. It's very poetic. But do you see the point that Jesus is trying to make? The rich guy gets stuck playing the game of Monopoly. First of all, he's already rich. We hear that in the story. And then God blesses him with a sudden abundance of more than he ever would need. This guy comes into a whole lot more than he was expecting. And what does he do with it? Well, he asks himself that question. What should I do with all this extra? He comes to this conclusion. I'm keeping it all. I'm going to have the best life. It doesn't sound too bad, right? Providing for yourself an early retirement, enjoying life. He set himself up with this life so he had control of everything. He had comfort, security, pleasure, had it all. See, he is the gloating friend who gets to the end of Monopoly game and every single property, every single bit of money is theirs. But God says to him, "You fool. Tonight you're going to die, and who's going to get what you prepared for yourself?" What God is saying is, it all goes back in the box. Everything you have goes back in the box. You've got the wrong perspective. And then Jesus ends the parable with this. He says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. He gives two options, two ways to live. He says, you either gain for yourself or you give to God. You either gain for yourself or you give to God. So what does that mean to be rich towards God? What does it actually look like? What do we even have to offer God? All we have is our life. That is how we're rich towards God. We give him our life, which means we give the rest of our lives to him. Verse 31 later in the passage says this, that we seek his kingdom. That's being rich towards God, that we seek his kingdom. Let him work through us in this world. Start a relationship with him that will last from here till eternity. You see, it's changing our focus from things that are here, things that are temporal, to things that are eternal. The earthly to the heavenly, the seen for the unseen. This is really challenging, particularly for us in the hills. We might not see it, but if you have a worldwide perspective, we're some of the richest people in the world. But it's because we work hard. We work hard, we provide for ourselves, our families, we have a high standard of living. We try to get the most out of life. We're always learning and gaining more knowledge. We're successful. We go to the best schools. And like the rich man in this parable, we're probably striving to get to a point where we can sit back, eat, drink, and be merry and celebrate the success we've had. But what happens? What happens when it all goes back in the box? What if we did everything we could to prepare for this life here on earth, but neglected preparing for eternity? There's a guy named Paul in the Bible. This church is named after him. And like us, he was successful. He was successful in everything he did. But then one day, Jesus changed his perspective. And this is what he wrote about all his successes, everything that he had ever done. This is in Philippians. He says, "Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." Paul says, everything I ever had, all the successes I ever had, they're worth nothing now that I know Jesus. now that I can be rich towards God. So the question is, what do we do? See, the man in this story was in Jesus' presence, and he had one thing to ask of Jesus. Tonight, we are in the presence of Jesus, and you can ask him for whatever you want. That question at the start, what would you ask Jesus if he was here right now? If you had one thing, what would you ask? Can I make a suggestion that you've actually got to know what he can offer you to determine what you can ask for? So what does Jesus offer us? John 10:10 says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. 1 John 5:11 says, God has given us eternal life, and this is in his Son. John 10:28 says, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, that they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Tonight, Jesus is offering life. More than you could ever expect. Eternal life, a relationship that starts now and goes on into eternity. See, and the reason that he can offer this is because he already dealt with the punishment that we deserved. That's the reason for the cross. He already paid the price so that he can offer us this life. As he died on that cross and rose back to life, he now has the power to offer you life and life to the full. And can I tell you the most exciting thing about accepting this gift and being rich towards God? This is the verse that is directly after this passage. In verse 22, Jesus says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will wear. God will provide what you need. And I'll tell you what that means. It means you get to enjoy the game more. So imagine if you had the perspective that this was just a game. Even when you were playing it, does it make sense? You can actually enjoy it more. I played soccer for a long, long time, since I was about 8. And if you've ever played sport or maybe watched someone play sport, I was the guy that you would watch and you'd be like, why so serious? I was like a psycho. And the reason is because I was passionate about soccer, I love sport, I love competition, but I was one of those guys who took it a bit too far. Like when you play Monopoly, you take it a bit too far, you don't have that perspective of this is just a game. That was me. And so what would that look like in the game? Well, unless we were winning and I was succeeding, I was horrible to play with. I would be angry at myself, I'd be angry at my own team, and I'd be obviously angry at the other team, the opposing team, and it wasn't fun. I loved soccer, but it wasn't fun because I took it too serious. I didn't have the perspective that this is just a game, that I'm here for my enjoyment, until one day it finally clicked. It's just a game, Josh. Don't take it so seriously. And once I had that perspective, once I could look outside of what was happening, I loved the game. I'd run around the field with a smile on my face. I wasn't shouting at my teammates anymore. I was forgiving for their mistakes, forgiving for my own mistakes. I even had the freedom to encourage the other team because they were playing well as well. Completely changed the way I played the game because my perspective changed. So when we give our lives to Jesus, he gives us a heavenly perspective. And once we have a perspective that's bigger than now, the concerns of now fade away. That's why he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or wear because God will look after that. Have your perspective on heaven. And the reason we can do that is because Jesus gives us that free gift. Colossians 3:2 says this, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So I want to ask you tonight, would you leave focused on the things of this world? What can I gain? Go back to this world of monopoly. Or will you be rich towards God and give him your life? They're the two options. Keep trying to get as much as possible or be rich towards God. And maybe you've never made that decision before. Maybe you came with a friend or you're new here tonight. I want to give you that opportunity right now. Or maybe you are here and you're a Christian and you've slipped back into this game where you think it's all about gaining, but really it's about giving to God. I want to pray for both of those people tonight. And so I want to say, if you want to say yes to Jesus tonight for the first time, I'm going to pray a prayer. And in your own mind, in your own heart, echo these words to God that we might be rich towards him. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you release us, that you free us from this world that tells us that it's all about what we can get. It's all about how much we can get. But we thank you that you give us a perspective that it's not about this life. It's about eternal life. We thank you for the work that Jesus did on that cross to give us this opportunity of a free gift of a relationship with you. So tonight, we want to leave being rich towards you, giving our whole life to you, that you might give us a new perspective and a relationship with you. Amen. I want to say, if you prayed that prayer and you prayed it to God from your heart, then it's answered. You will leave with a new life and a new perspective. And we want to celebrate that with you. Like Claudia said, when we wave these around, this is a response card, and in this you'll be able to tick a box. Everyone will be able to tick one. We're going to spend a minute just to fill these out so we can understand where you're at. If you've got any more questions, then we can answer them. And if you made that decision tonight, that we can help you take the next step. So if everyone just takes out this white card and a pen, I'm going to quickly go through these boxes and we're going to fill them out. If you said yes to Jesus tonight, you prayed that prayer, I want you to tick that second box. And I want to say you made a life-changing decision tonight. If you're here and you're part of this church or you have a relationship with Jesus, then you can tick that first box. I have a relationship with Jesus. If you've still got questions, then we want to help answer them. And so you can tick the fourth box. I still have questions. It's pretty obvious. We also have some courses happening called Christianity Explained. If you want to join one of them, then tick that third box. And for everyone here who's not quite sure or not really that interested, totally feel free to tick that the fifth box. If you just put your name, email, and phone number, then we can get in contact with you and help you take the next step. We're going to take a minute to do this. And then when the bags come around at the end of the service, you can pop them in. Thanks a lot.